Welcome to Extremely Interesting Interviews with Ordinary People, the podcast that uncovers extraordinary stories from the lives of everyday individuals. We invite you to join us on a captivating journey. In every episode, we delve deep into the personal journeys of our guests, exploring the challenges they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the triumphs they've celebrated. Their stories will touch your heart, broaden your perspective, and remind you of the incredible resilience, creativity, and courage that lies within us all.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Extremely Interesting Interviews with Ordinary People. This is the podcast that explores the marvelous and the mundane, and I'm your host, Mike Black. Today, as our guest is Alan Black. Alan is studying for his bachelor's degree in business and owns his own door automation company. He's also the operations manager. He has been an instrumental figure in the growth of residential automation in the state of Texas. His company, A&R Automation Concepts, based out of the greater Houston area, is growing by leaps and bounds. And we can all look at a LinkedIn profile and see what someone does. I'm interested in who Alan is. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being here. I like that.
Say again.
I said that was quite the introduction.
Oh, and all you got to do is live up to it now.
Yeah, I felt a couple of hairs coming out of my chest.
I'm sure. So I want to give you some questions. And okay. So we've all set for a job interview before, or we have interviewed people before for a job. And I always absolutely hated when they say, "So tell me about yourself." So since I hate it so badly, I won't do that to you. I'm going to start with something really easy.
Okay.
And so how old are you?
I just turned 30 as of February 27th.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Now tell me about your company and what exactly it does.
Well, we are the master manufacturing representative for the state of Texas. Now, we also cover Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and a little bit of Missouri. Now, we only have Texas, but just because there's not very many of us, we cover all those places just because they're starting to populate with automation. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, mostly the DFW and the greater Houston area.
Okay. And when I heard about this, it really excited me because I think about garage doors. And, you know, when I was a kid, we went out there and you got out of the car, you went over there and you had a key and you unlocked the padlock and you slid the bolt back and then you lifted the door, which was on this spring system and these lever things, and you lifted it up and then you drove your car in, you closed it back down. And that was when I was a kid. Today, there is no way someone would buy a house intentionally without an automatic door in the garage. And I think that your company is poised to really take advantage of the automation part, because I think the same thing's going to happen for front doors and back doors. I think it's going to get to the point where it's going to all be automated, just like our garage doors.
Oh, absolutely. Talking about the padlock, like I said, I'm 30 years old and I don't even know what you're talking about, because I've never even seen a padlock on a garage door. I've only seen the clicker.
Right.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen a garage door that is not automated.
Yeah. Now, so you obviously, for all the things that you've got going on, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. So you obviously have a lot of energy. So tell me how do you balance it all? You've got school, you're running a business, and you own the business, which is another job in and of itself. So how do you balance all that? Plus, I mean, you got your personal life too. I mean, but, you know, so how does that work?
You know, not to get out of the question, but it's a simple and complex as you make it, I guess, is the best way I can explain it. I always say just make it happen. And I mean, truly, that's what it is. You have a task in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and you have to make it happen. You have to. There is no, you can't not do it.
Right.
You know, if you're at a, okay, for example, if you have a test Friday, right? Well, mm-hmm. you know, you have to take that test by Friday. You have to.
Right.
So you already know what you need to do. You know, you already know the end result of what has to be done. All you mm-hmm. have to do is make it happen. So if you have three jobs this week and you also have a final exam, well, make it happen. You
too,
know,
and too bad it's going to be a long week, huh?
It's going to be a long week. And that, for example, the other day, I drove to, I want to say, Madisonville, Tennessee. Okay, I left Houston. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I left Houston. I had 2 days, but really I only had one because, again, I was in school, so I'm studying. I got a test to take. I got other jobs. I got other job walks. I got other regions I'm taking care of. And I went to Madisonville, Tennessee, which from Houston took me, I want to say it was about 7 hours. And I left 4 o'clock in the morning, got there, and I was installing two motors, and I was able to knock it out in, it was about 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And now this was the first, you know, the first installation. So it's not, I'm not having to program anything. I'm just installing the material or the hardware.
Right.
And I drove home because I needed to be home so that I can start the next day fresh. So I can, you know, study and I can,
wow,
do my job once. And, you know, so it really comes down to, it's that simple. It's a lot of times we tell ourselves, oh, I have so much to do. I have so much going on. I don't have time during the day, or I don't have that. Yeah, you do.
Right.
You really do. You just have to do it. You just have to make it happen.
Well, you obviously are an exception because not everyone feels and thinks that way about having to make it happen, because they don't, you know. So tell me, what is it that motivates you? What makes you get up in the morning and put your boots on and get after it?
I know what I don't want to be, you know. Okay. And in my mind, you know, growing up where I grew up, it was nobody cared. Everybody just wanted to hang out, party on the weekend, and no aspirations, no nothing, no ambition, no,
wow,
no want. And I grew up in that environment, and I wanted no part of it. And I used to think that wearing a suit to work would fill that void. You know, would make me feel successful, would make mm-hmm. me, would be the driving force. And it was until I started school, you know, and then I started AR, and I realized I don't need to be in a suit to be successful. I just need to have the things that I want out of life. And I don't know. It's a hard question to sum it all up in
right.
a couple of seconds of what's the driving force. I want to be successful.
I got you.
You know, and how do you become successful? You know, you do the things that you need to do to become successful. It's just like working out. I mean, if you want to have a good looking body, well, you got to work out.
Right.
It's that simple. It's not this complex. You know, if you want to be successful, be successful.
Right.
Yeah, you're gonna trip. You're gonna have hiccups. You're gonna fail. But that's part of becoming successful. Yeah. You know, so, whatever it is for you.
So this kind of leads me into the next question too, because my next question for you is, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out a business for themselves? And what do you wish that you had known when you first started your business?
Everybody's human.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you'll get there. You're not, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing, you're just like everybody else. You are a grown up just like everybody else. You're not less than these, you know, in the very beginning, I mean, I couldn't talk mm-hmm. to people, you know, CEOs and builders and, you know, all these people that I'm trying to impress. And now I don't even think about it, you know, and I've been doing it for 4 years and I don't even, my palms aren't even sweaty as I walk in. I'm not worried about it at all because
right,
they're normal people.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to say, man, I love this product. I'm going to put it in every single one of my homes, or they're not, you know, and there's no sales gimmick. There's no nothing. It's I offer a service. I offer a product. You like it or you don't. Just realize that everything does get easier the more you do it, repetition. So anything that you're hyper-focused on that, oh, I'm not a good salesman. Oh, I'm not a good this. I'm not a good that. Just give it time because you will be.
The more and you work out, the better you get.
Yes. And if you're not, that's fine because you'll
get time to learn.
Right. You'll get somebody to fill that position.
I think being able to forgive ourselves, you know, is huge. And I think that's part of it in starting out a business. You're going to make mistakes because you're learning. So when you're able to forgive yourself and you don't have that, that weighing down on you that, oh my God, you know, you screwed up again, you know, well, you know, if you forgive yourself, then you can just learn from that and move on rather than just you using that energy to beat yourself up for it.
Yes.
So,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so the first one would be just realize that it all comes with time. Don't think these are people you can't talk to. Don't think they're, you know, big and scary because they're not. They're just like you and me.
Right. So we've talked about your business. We've talked about school some. But I want to talk about your personal life. And I know that you and I have talked offline that you were actually undergoing testosterone replacement therapy. So can you kind of tell us what led you to consider testosterone replacement therapy? And, you know, were you experiencing some symptoms or issues that promoted you to seek treatment?
In my early 20s, I was happy-go-lucky. I was the guy everybody wanted to be around. Everybody liked me. I had no problem interacting with people. I had no problem with anything. And then I guess about 25, 26, maybe 27, I don't know. It's really weird because I don't want to say I had lack of motivation because I was extremely motivated because I'm, you know, school and my business and everything's going well. But it's just I had to search for happiness. I don't care if I got a big job, if I got a new girlfriend, if I whatever, it didn't matter. Yeah, I'd be happy for 30 minutes and then I'd be back into the ditch. And it was that was the driving factors. I felt like I was becoming depressed and I didn't understand it, you know, because
so did they run labs or something, or what prompted you to say, hey, you know, maybe I need testosterone replacement?
Well, my my buddy Dalton, he went and got his lab results for his testosterone, and he was extremely low by his account. His levels were in the 300s and he was extremely low. And I, you know, he had the same symptoms that I had, couldn't find happiness, felt weak, felt less than, you know, and, so I went and got my labs and I was about 50 points less than him.
Wow.
So I was even lower than he was. So, that's what prompted me to go seek help. Because I thought, you know, because Dalton, a buddy of mine, he's, you know, extremely manly man, you know, he's hairy chested, you know, can lift a car with one hand. I mean, he's, you know, you think of a man, you think of Dalton and, you know, here he is, you know, having the same symptoms that I have. I was like, well, you know, if he has low testosterone, maybe so do I. So I went and talked to the doctor and I told him, you know, I've always done, manly things. I've worked in construction my whole life. I've never felt less than, but I do now.
Right.
I don't.
So
everything's go ahead.
So it's obviously improved your mental and your emotional well-being by getting the replacement. What about your physical health? Is it, did you wake up one morning, you're all beefed up, kind of like in the Spider-Man movie where he wakes up and he all of a sudden has muscles or energy level or overall well-being,
When I first started taking the shots, because my testosterone, it was extremely low.
Mm-hmm.
And, it wasn't overnight, but I would say within the first 2 months, I gained 18 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's pretty significant.
And, oh, yeah. And, I'm not saying it was all muscle, but it was just mass. I mean, it was fat. I'm hoping some of it was muscle. my bench press, I've never been big on bench press. I've always been really weak when it comes to my chest.
Mm-hmm.
200 pounds is amazing for me. And I think by November, I recorded myself. I did 245 pounds, and I did it for 2 reps.
Yeah, that's significant.
I mean, because I felt like a king a couple of years ago when I hit 225.
Yeah,
and that was after months of lifting. And here I am almost starting cold. Well, 2 months in, and here I am hitting 245 for 2 reps. That was huge for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I started getting, gaining a lot of weight, but I looked better. I was 18 pounds heavier, but I looked better.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 2 months in, 3 months in. And then it all fell off.
Oh,
it,
wow.
I went from 218. I started at about 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I went to 218, and then from November to about February, I went to 193. And
so did you lose mass? Did you lose fat?
Well, I lost some mass just because, naturally, you lose that much weight. You're going to be skinnier. But
mm-hmm.
the thing is, I look good. I didn't look weak. I didn't feel weak. I felt strong. And I think that's the biggest thing about the TRT, whether you're strong or not, you feel strong.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's what makes it worth it because, obviously there are people, half my age and half my size that can bench way more than I can, right?
Right.
But in my heart, I feel strong. It doesn't matter what I do. I feel good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, man. I've been on it now for, 9 months?
Oh, wow.
8 months?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel great. I've seemed to regulate at about 200 pounds. But I'm not, I feel good all around.
Okay. So are there any misconceptions or myths about testosterone replacement therapy that you would try to squelch for somebody based on your experience?
Well, I really don't know of anything said about, the idea behind testosterone and the whole, rage and the,
mm-hmm. So you don't get that at all?
No.
Okay.
Maybe with high doses of, traditional, 1980s steroids, you would.
Right.
Maybe. But
so what advice would you give to someone who's considering testosterone replacement therapy?
Do it.
Oh, well, just, good. Yeah, so
you've had a very
positive experience then, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're even considering it, do it.
Yeah.
Even if you're not considering it, go get tested because the biggest thing you have is your health, and why feel that way? Why feel depressed? Why feel weak? Why? We don't have time to feel less than what what our potential is.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
If you spend 30 to 35 feeling leak and just down in the dumps. Well, that those may be important years in your life that you could have replaced filling the bowl. It just,
trust me, when you get to my age, you understand that they're all important years.
Right. So it's not even worth. I mean, not considering it. I mean, just it's so important. Just especially for a man, because that's what makes you feel like a man. That it's important.
Right.
To have your levels, you know, regulated, and it's extremely important for us. You know, we need to
emotionally, mentally, physically, the whole thing.
It affects everything. So it's extremely do it. Absolutely do it. Don't not do it. It's so cheap nowadays.
Is it?
Yeah, just do it. I mean, there are so many different ways you can do it. Also, I personally get a shot every single week. I go to the office. They put a shot in my butt. It takes 10 minutes. I'm in and out. They're extremely friendly. Just for everybody that's wondering, I think I spend $250 every 6 weeks.
Oh, that's not bad at all then.
Right. So if you're thinking it's going to be this, you know, now it, obviously it is a commitment.
Right.
Because once you synthetically start getting testosterone, you need, you know, you're not going to produce it.
Right.
Anymore, as far as to my understanding, you know, do your own research, but you know, to my understanding, you're not going to produce it. But I would argue that if you're seeking out testosterone replacement therapy, your buddies down there, they're not really doing their job anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you have to lose?
Exactly.
And it's the best $250 you'll spend.
Heck, I spend that on my yard, you know, so.
Right, exactly.
And I can mow my yard and trim my hedges and all that. So that's not a huge financial
commitment. No, it's not. It's so worth it. I mean, to feel your best, especially, and now I'm not, you know, an old man, but I'm sure for the audience that's, you know, 40 plus, 50, 60, you know, and you can raise your level. And to get everybody an idea, they said my levels was that of a 65-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
At 29 years old, my natural levels were that of a 65-year-old.
Wow.
So, you know, so obviously.
So you were a prime candidate, obviously.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So we've talked about school. We've talked about your business, balancing life. We've talked about testosterone replacement therapy. Let's peel back the onion a little bit. Let the audience learn about the Alan that's on the inside. So if you could go back, what would you tell your younger self? To what age would you go back, and what would you tell your younger self?
Oh.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I you know, obviously, really, before I wrote out all these questions, I had to ask myself the same questions, and yeah, and it gets pretty deep sometimes. So what would you tell your younger self?
Yeah, well, it's really tricky, because you don't
– You didn't
unfortunately, it all leads to who you are. So you don't necessarily want to go changing things, because that turns the outcome a little bit different.
That's a great answer, and I'm going to stop you there, because I'm a true believer in everything that I've done up to this point has led me to this place, and this is where I need to be.
Yeah, because. I mean,
you know, so you wouldn't tell yourself anything, probably. I
didn't say that.
Okay, on this night, in this month, do not go out, you know. I get you. Okay, so what? So if you could pile all your lessons up and put them in a bookshelf, and each book is a lesson that you've learned, and you're going to have a garage sale and you're going to sell your books off, but one of those books that are left, man, you just can't sell that book, because that is priceless. That lesson, that one lesson you've learned that you just cannot replace, What is that lesson?
Don't not go through with something because you are terrified of it or because you're scared, which is the same word. But to get my point across, I've had many moments where I've been sitting in my truck in a parking lot somewhere to a business or to a meeting or my first couple of product knowledges where I'm going to stand in front of 15, 30 people and talk to them, you know.
Yeah, and you're terrified and your palms are sweating and
yes,
you know, your stomach is rumbling. And yeah.
And
been there.
I have learned from an earlier age than this, but this is so silly, but just do it. Just make yourself, throw yourself into the situation.
Right.
That would be probably the biggest lesson that I personally is my favorite that I've learned throughout my life is I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care if it makes you tremble. You can't even speak.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Don't dip your toes in. Just dive in.
You know, it's really funny you say that, you know, because one of my favorite movies, there's a saying in that movie, and it holds so true, and it's these Vikings, and one of them says to the other one, this guy says, you know, he's talking about being afraid, and the Viking says to this other guy, he says, you know, luck will often save a man if his courage will hold. So in other words, if you could just hold your feet still long enough, you might get lucky and make it out of the battle, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's a great saying, you know, and it's kind of like what you're saying here, you know, don't be afraid, just dive in, you just go ahead and do it.
Right. And that's the thing. And, you know, you can, on the inside, man, you can be shaken, you can be terrified.
Right.
But just do it. Because if you just do it, if you just walk in there, start talking. I mean, I don't care if you even know what you're going to say. Just start talking.
Just dive in, huh?
It's just like a fist fight. I mean, you might be scared to death.
Right.
Just throw the first punch. Because as soon as you throw the first punch, it's everything's easy. There's nothing to worry about.
Okay, let's go back to the start at if you get in a fist fight.
Okay. That's like if you get into a fist fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before the fist fight, you're amped up, you're shaking, you have all this just adrenaline going through you. But as soon as that first punch is thrown, everything goes out the window. It's you're doing it now. Jumping in the water, you know, you it's cold, you don't want to get wet. But as soon as you jump in the water,
you feel fine then.
You're fine. Everything, and that would be the biggest lesson. If you're scared to talk to people, if you're scared, and I get it, I'm still scared to this day. But if you kind of like that quote, if you just do it, just make it happen.
Yeah.
If you can make yourself walk in there and start talking, you will navigate your way through.
That's very, very good advice. So
you will. I mean, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's right. Luck will often save a man if his courage will hold, you know.
Absolutely. It will.
So I have a couple of more questions for you, and it's kind of all, it's one question, but it's a two-parter.
Okay.
And so the question is, and you're a young man and you probably don't think about this as much as, like, say, I do. And I'm assuming that because I know how I thought when I was, you know, when I was younger. But if you got to the end of your physical life, and you were granted the ability to live one more day. So in other words, you're dying. And, you know, tomorrow morning, death has visited and said, hey, dude, tomorrow you're gone. And you're like, but oh, wait, you know, here, I got $1 million. Let me buy one more day, you know, or whatever. What would you do if you were granted one more day and you knew that that was the very last day, what would you do on that day?
If I could live one more day. Well, kind of a tricky question, because if I'm dying of old age, I assume everybody knows I'm dying. So I would assume that everybody that loves me already is standing around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably just hang out with them.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
Noble answer and very good answer. So the second part of that question is, what wouldn't you do?
What wouldn't I do?
Like, if it happened to me, I would be like, okay, what I wouldn't do is, like, there ain't no way that I'm going to get out there and push that lawnmower around the yard one more time. That's not happening today. This is my last day. I'm not wasting it.
I got what I wouldn't do. I mean, I wouldn't answer my phone. I'd chuck that out the window. I would probably, I'd call a bunch of people and tell them to go shove it. But I'm assuming I've been done that. Hopefully long before I'm 80. So, I would drink coffee and I would, I'd hang around everybody that's there. Cause if they know I'm dying, then I would assume they're already there if they care for me. If they don't, then, I assume I'm going to be a millionaire by then. So I'll just ride them out of my will. But I would just hang out. I would drink coffee. I'd pet my cat. I'd talk to my loved ones, and I would hang out. And I would talk about how excited and scared I am. About to walk over to the other side, and what that I would try to describe to my friends and family. You know, I would try to calm them, and let them know that it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right. And I don't know. It would be a lot of emotions knowing that you're about to cross over, because it's something you've never done.
Right.
You know, it's a new experience that you've never done. And it's not like skydiving. I mean, it would fill you with emotion. You know, did I live my life right?
Right.
Should I be religious? And if I am religious, what religion was the right one? you would have so much emotion. The problem is, no matter how much you have it figured out, I don't care how smart you are, it wouldn't matter, because you would finally get to that moment where, was I right? Yeah. Am I wrong? Well, I don't know. Nobody does. And you have to, unfortunately, you have to cross that road by yourself.
Yep.
You know, you're crossing that by yourself, and that would be scary.
So I don't want to take all your time from you, but I do want to ask another kind of two-part question. And so, what is your greatest love, and what brings you the greatest pleasure?
My greatest love. Man, that is this a thing, or is this a person?
This is about you. I know for me, if somebody asked me what my greatest love was, my children. Absolutely. Without a doubt, without question, my children. And they bring me the greatest pleasure. That's for me, though.
Right.
But this is your question.
Yeah. My greatest love. My greatest love would be the people in my inner circle. The people that I truly cherish. And, you know, there's a handful of them, but that would be my greatest love. Absolutely. Would be the people that are in my inner circle.
Wow. That's,
I mean,
good answer.
And, you know, of course, my cat buddy.
Of course.
You know,
I just want to say thank you for, sitting with me for this interview. I've certainly enjoyed it. I've learned a lot about testosterone replacement therapy, and I enjoyed talking with you about this. And I wish you both, or I wish you the best in all your endeavors. And I just hope everybody else enjoys this conversation as much as I have. So, and with that, I'll say thank you.
We should do it again, but in person. I think that would be a better conversation. Just we can kind of dive deeper into everything that we touched on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alan.
Yes, thank you.